today on Real Radio.
If the Bible's not true, it should be very easily disproven, everybody. Let's be honest. If the Bible has been written by men and it has no inspiration of God, over thousands and thousands of years, it should have had many mistakes. And yet over all of the thousands and thousands of years, there's not a one.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. This really has been a great study, hasn't it? Thanks for joining us today. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and to return to Him so He could continue to bless them. And you know, Isaiah is called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming of the Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In parts 1 and 2 of this message from Isaiah chapter 7, we were reminded of how God is bound to His Word, and that His Word is true and it lasts forever. Pastor Jack also challenged us to look at our own lives and see if we believe God's Word to be true, and does our behavior actually match up with the Bible? Our calling is from God. That means we're to decrease as God increases. But when leadership is corrupt, God will intervene, either with mercy or justice or both. Now in part 3, we'll continue to see how God knows the future and is faithful in keeping His promises. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God knows what will come to pass and to remember that God is in control. God's Word is eternal and history is an eyewitness to His Word. That's why if the Bible weren't true and all that it claims is false, well, it could be easily discarded. But the past has proven God's Word to be true. And the longer we live, the more we see God's hand in all that we do. And now in his lesson called God's Word is Always True, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask that you bless your precious word to us, especially tonight, Lord. I'm so excited about this chapter because in this chapter that we've been plodding through, there's this explosion of hope and light in the midst of the things that we've been looking at. And so, Lord, it's right for us to have this study entitled, That Your Word is Always True. And we don't often find that out in life as believers until we are going through the worst of times. And then you show up, as it were, our hero on a white horse, speaking your promises to us, redeeming us from ourselves and this world. Thank you, God, for your goodness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah 7. And Isaiah 7, we're in part 3 of this title, God's Word is Always True. I've said, and I'll say it again, that the Lord has shown me over the course of my life that as long as you're biblical, you'll always be right. And there's no pride in that. There's no arrogance. There's no self-exaltation in it. In fact, it's an invitation for us to be submissive to the Word of God. If you're biblical about your worldview and about the events around your life, this you can be rest assured that you'll always be right because God is always right. Be on His side. The Bible tells us regarding God who not only knows the now but knows the future. In Isaiah chapter 46 verse 9, the Bible says, "For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done." The power of God. Now listen, as we get into this tonight, back into this book, the Bible teaches us that the Lord is God over all the earth. That's what the Bible says. In fact, listen, in Psalm 109:19, the Bible says the Lord, that is Yah, or Yahweh, or Jehovah, has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm setting you up for a question. Isaiah 66, verse 1 says, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. God's in control right now. So the question then arises from us is, if he's in control, then why is everything so messed up? Answer, believe it or not, things are not messed up. The world is violent. The world is hateful. The world is messed up. The world's going down the wrong direction. And if God would have never said such a thing about it, then we would probably be justified in saying, it's messed up. But he said, oh, by the way, right before I return, there's going to be certain things going a certain way. And I tell you now so that when it happens in that generation, you'll know that I'm in control of it all. He's not causing it. He knew it would happen. He knows things before they come to pass. And so we as believers look at what's happening, and we need to take a deep breath in the midst of all the stuff that's happening in our world and remember that God's in control. And so we saw last time in verses 1-9, God keeps his word because it's true. And we saw that because his word is that very thing that he's committed to. We saw that in our first argument in verses 1-9. Secondly, this is where we left off, that in verses 10-25, that history is an eyewitness to his word. This is fun. God's word is eternal. History, listen, if you're a skeptic, listen. If God is false, and listen to this, if the Bible's not true, it should be very easily disproven, everybody. Let's be honest. If the Bible has been written by men and it has no inspiration of God, let's listen. You've got thousands and thousands of years of records right here. This is a big target. Are you guys with me? This is a big target. You ought to, with all that it claims, we should be able to shoot this to pieces tonight. Any skeptic with half their brain tied behind their back should destroy this book. Because over thousands and thousands of years, it should have had many mistakes. And yet over all of the thousands and thousands of years, there's not a one. So this stands as a testimony. God says, my word's true. And history bears witness to the fact that God's word is true. Historians don't even stick to history. But if they did, they would have to encounter the God of history. A long time ago, I forget who I learned this from, probably my wife in homeschooling. She wasn't my teacher. She taught our kids, but somewhere she heard history is his story. And that is true. You cannot escape the fact that God intervenes in the affairs of men. And as we continue on tonight, I want to underline that. I want you to be thinking about that. It's a matter of congressional record that on Saturday, July 28, 1787, while in session, Benjamin Franklin rose up and interrupted the partisanship and the confusion at the Constitutional Convention. And he said, Mr. President, that's the president of the Congress, Benjamin Franklin said, the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks in close attendance and continual reasonings with each other and our different sentiments on almost every question, several of the last producing as many no's as yeses, is methinks a melancholy proof of the imperfection of the human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want, that is the word lack, that's the word they used back then, lack of political wisdom. Since we have been running about in search of it, we have gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which have been formed with the seeds of their own disillusion, now no longer in existence. And we have viewed the modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to our own circumstances. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the darkness to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, How has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understandings? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us were engaged in the struggle. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of his superintending providence in our favor. I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? Said Benjamin Franklin. And from that moment, if you keep reading that, from that moment, he asked for a break from the meeting and he requests prayer. And they all go together and they cross the street and they go into that famous chapel that still stands today and they begin to cry out in prayer unto God. And once they had sought God, they went right back and they wrote the government of the United States like that. And it's still a miracle today. Every 4th of July, it's the longest running government in the history of man. What happened? This, God governs in the affairs of men. God is actually governing over the affairs of America. He's governing over the affairs of our city, of our state. We may not like what's happening, but God is governing. We need to remember that. And so as we go through the book of Isaiah, as we come to this portion, we've been studying about how the southern kingdom is in great peril. And you know by now, we've looked at it for the last several weeks, that the kingdom of the north, Israel, has sided with the Syrians and they are going to come against Judah, but God's going to frustrate their plans. But wicked King Ahaz of the south, he doesn't trust in the God of Isaiah. He doesn't consult the God of Isaiah, but rather he is impressed with the Assyrian, not Syria, the Assyrian gods, and he's consulting with them. And he mocks the God of heaven by basically, in a sense, emotionally patting Isaiah on the head and said, well, you know, I'm not going to tempt the God of heaven. I'm not going to dare bother him. He's not interested in what we're going through. And Ben Franklin would have said to him, can a sparrow fall to the ground without his notice? We need to hear that today. Amen. In your life, in my life, with what's going on, God cares about your sorrow, your pain, your hurt, your trial, your difficulty, your frustrations, your insanities. I say that biblically and affectionately because Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that have ever lived, said of himself, oftentimes I doubted my sanity when I was brought under such demonic and spiritual attack. You feel like the world is coming apart sometimes, and yet God's on his throne. You feel like the wind is knocked out of you, yet God's on his throne. You don't understand what's happening, what's going on. God's on his throne. We lose sight of that. We're so busy, we get so caught up, kind of like King Ahaz, that we lose track of what's going on. And God says, excuse me, heaven's my throne. I sit on heaven. And when I want to stretch out my feet, I just put it on the earth. What a great picture. Dr. Harry Ironside once painted a picture in one of his gospel teachings, and I've never forgotten it. He said, and he said it the only way that Dr. Ironside could say it, with amazing reverence and graphic words, he said, he wouldn't be surprised if when he got to heaven, he would see Jesus enthroned. You say, well, it's, of course. But he said, enthroned, sitting upon the cross, on top of it, sitting on the cross, enthroned. Not hanging on it, sitting on it. I like that. When the angel blew the stone from the tomb of Jesus, what does the Bible say? The angel rolled back the stone, and the angel what? Sat on. Isn't that sassy? And I don't know if angels do this, but the angel just, he's sitting. We know from the Bible the angel sat on that rolled back stone that was too big for anybody to roll. And I'm wondering when the disciples showed up, the angel's just not going like this. Looking at his nails, kind of checking out his fingers. Like, well, just another day. I see Jesus almost like that in great victory. Now here we go. Look at verse 14 where we left off. The sign given to Ahaz is this. Isaiah says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Get your pen ready, people, because we're going to challenge you in a moment. Behold, look, open your eyes wide. Consider this. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Circle that verse in your Bible. Why? Because according to the Bible, who the Bible says is written by the Holy Spirit, that's why I opened as I did. There's no errors in the Bible. How can that possibly be true when it spans an authorship period of some 2,000 years and it involves human beings as the ones who were, what, scribes? Is that the right word for the person who just records? A recorder? Imagine, so a courtroom reporter never making a mistake. The authorship of the Bible says, was singular. The scriptures were given by the Holy Spirit, by God, and he used humans to write it. Now, you might think for a moment, everything's tracking great, and I could see why it's perfect until you introduce humanity in the part of it. And you think about this for a moment. That very argument holds water, except that once you examine the scriptures, I challenge anyone in here who tonight doubts the Bible, go look at its accuracy and you'll scratch your head in awe, because what God did was, the Bible says that God the Holy Spirit possessed those men who wrote. He wrote through them. Okay? And the Bible even goes so far to say that they didn't understand what they were writing. They desire to look into those things being fulfilled. Oh, man. So when you take the claims of the scripture and put it up against history, you would think you'd find a discrepancy. You would think that if this prophet said this and it never happened, then there must be a problem. So listen, tonight I hope you have some fun. Get ready, though. I hope you learn a lot. And with it, your faith is increased. But according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the greatest commentator on the Bible. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So watch this. How do we know Isaiah spoke true? How do we know it came to pass? Now watch this. The Holy Spirit tells us that he gave the prophecy to Isaiah and that it was written in the book of Isaiah accurately. How do we know? Because in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, the Holy Spirit, listen, when I get done with these verses, you should be impressed with this. In verse 18, because the Holy Spirit's writing the Bible, the same Holy Spirit that penned the book of Isaiah pens the book of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. Watch. Stop right there. We'll keep reading in a moment. This was some 2,000 years ago. Are you with me? You tracking with me? Already, listen, in print in every synagogue in the world was the prophet Isaiah. In fact, are you sitting down? About 270 BC, the scrolls of Isaiah, for example, are all in order, all contained, and written into the Greek language, Old Testament, and hidden in a cave in Qumran, Israel. And I think it was 1947, 1948, an Arab boy was walking his sheep, thought some of his sheep went into a cave in the Qumran caves, which many of you have been with us on that national park tour as you go in there. And that little kid, to get sheep out of there, threw the stone in there to get the sheep out of the cave, because it's full of caves, by the way. There's caves everywhere there. And he goes in there and he hears glass break when he threw the rock. So the kid walks in there and finds these huge urns, beautiful urns, bunch of them, and inside a bunch of scrolls, books. Long story short, they turn out to be the Dead Sea Scrolls, the greatest archaeological find maybe ever. Why is that important? Because biblical scholars from around the world studied them and matched them up to all of the other manuscripts and all of the other data that's out there. And lo and behold, it came dead on to the Old King James Bible. Or the Old King James Bible, I should say, came dead on to it. So why am I saying this? Because with what we're reading here in Matthew, it was this data, this reading was in every synagogue. So when you read Matthew, if you're Jewish tonight, this is Matthew Levi writing to us. That was his last name. He's a Jew. Oh, you Gentiles reading the New Testament. Excuse me, we're a bunch of Gentiles reading a Jewish book. And right now I'm reading a good Jew, Matthew. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He loved her. He didn't want to stone her to death or whatever. He wanted her to live. He loved her. So he's going to get her divorced privately. By the way, when you're engaged in that country, you're married. You don't just get, but you don't do the married stuff. You have to wait a while. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now listen, you said, I thought we just read in Isaiah, his name's going to be Emmanuel. Good question. His name, the Greek name, the Greek culture is ruling the world, the Bible's written in Koine Greek. His name was a very common name in the day, Jesus. Jesus, very common name. But here's the deal. The name speaks of a mission. The name Jesus and the name Emmanuel, you put those two names together, God is salvation, God is my Savior, that's the mission. Jesus Emmanuel. But you say, well, that's speculation. No, that's his actual name. But let's see if his life proves it. That's the historical question and fact. So his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the word Emmanuel, that God, he will come and save us. He'll be among us.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 3. Thanks for listening today, and it is comforting to know that we can rely on God's Word and His promises as we move forward in our walk with His Son, Jesus Christ. God's Word is Always True, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before Jesus was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Pastor Jack says we're all called by God for a purpose, but it's so important to start with the basics. That's why Pastor Jack has a selection on our website called Real Life Basics. The Real Life Basics videos are full of information about understanding the Bible, what it means to be a Christian, and how to grow in your relationship with God. Pastor Jack also walks us through questions about the Holy Spirit, about prayer, confession, and exercising your gifts, and a whole lot more. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or even better, download the free Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet for immediate on-the-go mobile access. This program, of course, is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to help support this ministry, there's a quick and easy way to do it. Just download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app and click on the Give tab. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.